All right, so let's go ahead and take up with where we had gotten to. And we had gotten to Jehoshaphat, and up in Israel, wicked old Ahab. And what was the peculiar thing about these two men? One of them was very good and the other one was very bad. Now, what was peculiar about the two of them? They were good friends. And so the names of their children sort of reflect that as time goes on. Well, the last story we had told was the death of Ahab. And so when Ahab was killed in battle, Jehoshaphat continued to rule. But Ahab, his place was taken by his son Ahaziah. But Ahaziah did not have long for this world because he fell through a lattice in a window, and he was injured so that he would not recover from his injuries. And so he only ruled about a year. Now, one of the stories that's really a prominent story about Ahaziah is that he sent messengers to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask if he would get well. And on the way, Elijah met him and told him, "You go back and tell him he will not get well." So when they went back, Ahaziah asked them, "What did the guy look like that told you that?" And when they described him, he said, "That's Elijah." And remember, he sent 50 men to go get him. And the 50 soldiers went to get him. And they said, "Man of God, come with us." And this Elijah said, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and devour you and your 50. And fire came down from the Lord and just burned them up. You ever hear that story? Well, you have now. And so the king, you know, he was in his bed or wheelchair or whatever. He wasn't having to go down there and do that, so he sent another 50. Captain goes down and he says, "Oh man of God, come down quickly." And Elijah said, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and devour you and your 50. Well, by now, the word is getting out. So Ahaziah sends a third captain and his 50. Now this third captain and his 50 comes up and he says, "Oh man of God, I beg of you, please have mercy on me and on my men and on our lives. Would you please, please, please go with us?" I mean, you can tell a difference in his attitude, can't you? So that God made the point that even though I have this one prophet and he looks like he's all by himself, he's not, because I'm taking care of him. So once God got that established, then God said, "Okay, Elijah, you can go with him now." So Elijah went with him, and he told Ahaziah exactly what he had already told the messengers, that you are surely going to die. And so Ahaziah was followed on the throne by his brother. Remember, I told you that two of these men were brothers. Well, it's Ahaz's sons that are brothers that reign upon the throne, with Ahaziah just a year. And then Jehoram comes upon the throne. And for a while, he and Jehoshaphat are reigning together. And they work together. They go to battle together and stuff like that. So that Jehoshaphat is maintaining the relationship pretty well with Jehoram that he had maintained with Ahab. And for a little while there with Ahaziah. But when Jehoshaphat died, he was succeeded by his son, Jehoram. Okay, you letting that register now? Okay, and both these men are also called by the abbreviated form Joram. And if you begin to get irritated and say, "Well, why do they have to use so many different names?" Well, think about your own names among us. How many different names people will be called by? They'll have all kinds of nicknames and everything else. So, you know, we do the same thing. And they did that, and sometimes it was for religious reasons that they would drop the front part or something like that. Well, these two men ruled together for a while, but this one right here, Jehoram of Judah, was one of the most wicked kings. He was easily the most wicked king in Judah that had come along yet. And so at this point, that map over there is reflecting pretty well the situation here. So he was ruling in the south. He was so wicked, though, that God allowed a coalition of Arabians and Philistines and Edomites to come. And it is therefore thought by a lot of students, one of whom I am, that Obadiah the prophet prophesies at this point in about 845 B.C., so that he is the earliest of the written prophets. But this Jehoram is so wicked that the Lord smites him. And in fact, he is the first of the men of Judah that when he came to the throne, he killed all of his brothers. You know why he killed all of his brothers? So they wouldn't be king. That's right. And so that just shows the attitude. But when he died, God smote him so that, euphemistically, we could say his bowels fell out. So you want to inquire into that, it wouldn't be pretty. He died in absolute misery because of the kind of man he had been. And he was then succeeded by his son, Ahaziah. So you see, we have a J.J.A., and over here we have an A.A.J. These two men are brothers. These two men here, that's a father and a son. Now this Jehoram, now some of you I think will remember this. This Jehoram, what relationship was he to Ahab? Son-in-law. He had married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Her name was Athaliah. So he had married her. So Athaliah was Ahaziah's mother. All right, now, as time goes along, all right, we're coming to that point where we put the horses back in the gates. And they're going to start off at the same time once again. And that is because it is time now for, well, there's one other thing before I go on and tell that story. We come to the end of Elijah's work. And does everybody remember the story of how Elijah, well, what happened to him? Did he die? No. How did he leave the earth? Remember in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire? Remember that story? And he goes up and he leaves his mantle. And when Elisha comes and picks up the mantle, he goes back there to the Jordan. He says, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" Smites the river and it stops the water. And the sons of the prophets behold and they see that, aha, Elisha has now taken up the mantle of Elijah and he is the new prophet of the Lord. So now the story begins to follow Elisha. And one of the stories that he is involved in is that even before the death of Jehoshaphat, he and Jehoram were in battle with the king of Edom against the Moabites. And Elisha was there, and they asked him, what's going to happen? Tell us something. And Elisha said, "I wouldn't even talk to you, Jehoram. I wouldn't even talk to you if it were not for the presence of Jehoshaphat." So he does tell him. He tells him, dig some ditches. Dig some ditches. Yes. Because they were without water. That was their big, huge problem. They were without water. And the Lord caused rain in the far-off mountains to come down, and water came and filled up those ditches all over the place. And the Moabites came out there about sunrise and looked out there, and they just saw that red all over the place. And they said, "Oh, goody, they have fallen upon one another, and they have killed each other. Let's go get the spoils." And ran right into a very alive and well army of Jehoshaphat and Jehoram. And so that story was told. Well, coming on down now to the time when Ahaziah and Jehoram are ruling upon their thrones. Jehoram was in battle again over at Ramoth-Gilead, and he was wounded, and so he had come. He had come back from the battle, and he was up here at Jezreel, right up there, and they were in battle over across the river over here at Ramoth-Gilead. So he was over there recovering, and his nephew, Ahaziah, was coming to see him. Everybody got that now? Because Athaliah would be Jehoram's sister. See, Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab, would be Jehoram's sister. Correct? So, if this is the son of this guy's sister, that'd make him his nephew. Now, even I can keep up with relations that, you know, no more complicated than that. I'm okay. So here he was coming up there to visit him. Meanwhile, Elisha had sent a son of the prophets over to the battleground at Ramoth-Gilead to anoint the king, the new king of Israel. His name was to be Jehu. Anyone ever heard of Jehu? All right. So Jehu, this prophet comes over there, and he says, and the guys that are meeting him, the captains, there, it's like they're almost making fun of him, you know. Hey, who do you want? I want Jehu. I have a word to say with him. So he goes in there and he tells Jehu, the Lord has chosen you to be the next king of Israel. Wow. And you're to wipe out the house of Ahab. So Jehu comes back out. I mean, that prophet, he's gone. He just takes off. Comes back out, and the other captains say, oh, what did that crazy guy have to say? He said, he said, I'm to be the next king of Israel. Long live King Jehu. So had a very quick change in attitude, you know. What'd that crazy fella say? Oh, long live King Jehu. He said, now if you really want me to be king, then you don't let anybody get away from here. And so he took off in his chariot. He took off in his chariot, heading from Ramoth-Gilead over there, heading over here to the west to Jezreel. And so as he came near the watchman where Jehoram was recovering from his wounds and nephew Ahaziah visiting with him, they say that there's somebody coming out there, and man, he is driving wild like Jehu. So that meant that Jehu had a reputation of being a guy that turned the corner on two wheels and stuff like that. I mean, he scratched off every time and went one of that kind, except he was doing it with a chariot. His driving is furious, like the driving of Jehu. So when he came up there, Jehoram sent messengers out, and they wouldn't come back. And so he went out to meet him, and he said, is it peace, Jehu? And Jehu said, how can there be peace with the unfaithfulness of your father and your mother? How can there be peace? And old Jehoram said, run, Ahaziah. Because he knew that that was not good news. And Jehu just drew his bow, shot him, and it just went right through his heart. Killed Jehoram. Ahaziah took off. But he had him pursued and had him killed as well. So you see, that's why we have a situation now where the horses are back in the gates. The horse over here is going to be Athaliah. Now, she's not a descendant of David, is she? And the one over here is going to be Jehu, because he promptly sets out. He destroys the two kings. He goes into the city of Jezreel, where Jezebel has heard about his goings on, his doings, and so she's up there getting her makeup on. And when she looks out, when she says, is it you, you Zimri, you master's murderer, you? I guess she was trying to win him over. Some have said she was putting her makeup on because she was going to make a play for him. And I've always thought, how ridiculous. That's not the way to make a play for somebody. Then to say, is it you, you Zimri, you master's murderer, you? He says, anybody up there on my side? And there were these eunuchs that stuck their heads out the windows. He said, throw her down. And they just threw her right out the window. Blap. And then he just took his chariot and rode over. Turned around, rode back over. Really worked up a hunger, you know, doing this kind of stuff. So he hitches up, goes inside, and has a meal. And then says, well, after all, she is a king's daughter. Go out and bury her. And they went out to bury her, and there wasn't, frankly, there just wasn't enough left. Because the dogs had been busy. Do you remember what the prophet had told Ahab at the time that poor old Naboth was killed and his land taken? Do you remember what God had said would happen to the flesh of Jezebel? That it would be eaten by the dogs by the ramparts of Jezreel. That's exactly what happened. Well, Jehu is, he is exterminating the house of Ahab, so he really goes at it. And there are 70 sons of Ahab that are over in Samaria. So he sends a word over there and says to the elders of the city, "Hey, if you all want to, if you want to contest my being the king, choose one of Ahab's sons over there and set him up to be king, and we'll have it out." And those elders over there said, "Wow, he's already killed two kings. How can we possibly stand against him?" So they sent word back, "We're with you." Jehu said, "If you're with me, then I want you to send all 70 heads, or the heads of all 70 of those sons here, without the rest of them." And so they brought the 70 heads of those sons, and he piled them up, had them piled out there in two piles. And he got all the people out there, and he said, "Now then, you will tell me I am a rebel. What does this make you?" In other words, you're in this with me now. So he also met 42 brethren related to Athaliah, and for good, I mean to Ahaziah, and for good measure he kills them too. And then he goes to Samaria. When he gets to Samaria, he says, "Here I am. I'm going to have the biggest Baal worship that has ever been held in the land." So he gathers all the Baal worshipers into the temple of Baal, and he says, "Now we don't want any of those despised Jehovah worshipers, so we're going to give a linen robe to every one of the Baal worshipers to make sure we don't have any of those Jehovah worshipers in here." Well, it was a matter of ID. But the Baal worshipers didn't know that that's what it was for. So when they were all in the temple, he had all the doors and accesses locked. And then he told his men, "Now you go in and you kill them from one end to the other. And if you let one get away, it's your life for his life." So they went in and they wiped them out from one end to the other. It was a horribly bloody time. But let me ask you something. Were there supposed to be Baal worshipers in Israel? What should already have happened to them? They should have already been executed. And if they had been, then there wouldn't have been a whole house full of them. Now the thing is, Ahab and Jezebel had done so many wicked things that it was time for the wrath of the Lord to come upon them. If Jehu had done that for the right reason, then he would have been obeying the Lord and serving him. But as it is, that's not the reason why he was doing it. And later on, the prophet Hosea talks about the fact that the blood of Jezreel will be avenged on the house of Jehu. And the reason was because his motive was not to honor God. But can you guess what Jehu's motive was? To make himself king. And since the Baal worshipers and the relatives of Ahaziah and Jehoram and his household, since they had all been supporters of Ahab's dynasty, get rid of all them, and he felt like that would help his claim to the throne. So now you have Jehu. Now at first, although God knew the heart of Jehu, all Israel did not. So at this point, God makes a promise, because it appears that Jehu has done what he wanted done. So he says, "Now Jehu, because you have rid Israel of the house of Ahab, your descendants to the fourth generation will sit upon the throne now." And you remember that old story about the farmer and his wife, and the farmer was talking about the way he trained his mule. And he said, you know, he would count three times. And if the mule didn't do what he was told, then it was he killed the mule. So he was going along with his wife, and she said something. He said, "All right, now hush now." And she didn't hush. She kept on, and she kept, and he said, "That's twice." Well, it's kind of like God is going to do that with Jehu, because it becomes obvious almost immediately what Jehu's true motive is, and so it becomes obvious God is saying, "Okay, one, two, three, four, good. I've got that one done now. I fulfill that promise. Now I can clean house." And that's what he ultimately does because of Jehu's own dishonesty and so on. Now, grandmother Athaliah over here, the beloved daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, has gone out very busily trying to kill all her grandchildren. Do you know why she is killing all her grandchildren? She doesn't want them to be king. She wants to rule the throne. So she goes in there and just kills all of the children of Ahaziah except one, which argues that she really didn't know them very well. And I'm not surprised. Somehow I'm not very surprised at that. But there's one she misses. He's a baby. His name is Joash. So Joash is taken by his aunt, who is married to Jehoiada the high priest. Wonderful man in Bible history. One of the really great and strong men in Israelite history, in the Bible. And they take that baby and they keep him hidden at the temple for 7 years. Meanwhile, Athaliah is ruling and Jehu is ruling. Okay? So, do you have the situation there? All right, we have Jehu ruling and we have Athaliah ruling down in Judah. So understand, how do you figure that Judah would be enjoying having this woman who is not even of the house of David ruling upon the throne? Not very much. But there's not anything they really can do about it at this point, because they don't even know, most of them don't even know that that baby was spared. Well, when the 7 years are up, all right, here we have Athaliah. Jehoiada, the high priest, took that baby and he told all the captains of the Levites that when one shift goes off, you don't go away, you stay here. So he wound up having about three times as many soldiers as he normally would have had there. And he takes those captains in and he says, "I got something to show you." And he takes them in, shows them a 7-year-old boy. Well, in the climate of this time, nobody had to write them a book about what this was. You know what they could do? What would they guess? "Never seen this boy before." "Yeah, this is Joash." "You mean the son of the king?" "Yeah, this is the son of the king." "Okay." And so they were all excited. So they got all this thing together and they took Joash out and made him publicly proclaim him king. And Athaliah was just outraged because this was treason. Now I hope you find that as ironic as I do, for her, of all people, to be yelling, "Treason, treason." And Jehoiada said, "Anyone else who wants to go with her and be killed, you go ahead. That'll be fine." Not one single person went with her. Isn't that amazing? And they took her out and they executed her. And so her usurpation was over. And so now this boy, Jehoash, or we'll just say Joash, he's called by both names. So he's reigning here. And meanwhile, old Jehu, Jehu dies. Oh yeah, and one of the interesting things about Jehu is he's one of the only, maybe there is another one, maybe Rehoboam, something. But he's the only king of Israel that we know for sure we have a picture of in an inscription. But it's not flattering, because he is on his knees with his forehead to the ground, bowing before Shalmaneser III, king of Assyria, bringing tribute to him. So it's not a very glorious thing. So when he dies, his son Jehoahaz gets on the throne, and you see what I'm doing? Probably about this time also, we have another of the prophets that comes along, and that is the prophet Joel. And probably around 830 in the time, the earlier years of Joash. Things are going great here. Joash is growing up. He's under Jehoiada's care and teaching, and so things are going well. But over here in Israel, things are not going well. And because of the wickedness of Jehoahaz, the kingdom is suffering. Now watch this. Oh, well, yeah, that's Israel. This is Judah. Now watch this. You see the difference in the size of Israel on that one? I mean, it's about the size of a county. And Judah is not doing much better. But Joash is down there, and things are going well down there. But up in Israel, Jehoahaz has just about killed the land. Well, finally, things get so bad, he cries to the Lord, and the Lord says, okay, I'm going to help you out just to show you what I could do if you would serve me. So at this time, now this Joash reigns for a fairly long time here, and then there's a Joash over here. You do see what the numbers are for. We're keeping up. That's two. Okay. So after a time, now these two Joashes ruled together for a time, but guess what? When the priest that befriended this Joash in Judah, when he died, there was nobody left to tutor Joash of Judah and to keep him on the straight and narrow. And so Joash began to pay attention to his other advisors and teachers and comrades. And so eventually he wound up being so disobedient to the Lord and everything, his own servants killed him. His own servants killed him. And so his place was taken by Amaziah. So here, Amaziah. Amaziah is an interesting fellow. By the way, before I tell you any more about him, let me tell you this. During the time of Joash, I haven't told you everything. I can't go back and tell you everything, but I will tell you this. Elisha dies. Elisha dies in the time of this Joash. Things are looking better for Israel. God is doing what he said. I'll help you out. I'll bring you out of this. And some think it may have been Joash that was the deliverer that God raised up. We don't know who it was if it were not, but it's in the days of Joash things began to look better. So he was called to the deathbed of Elisha. And Elisha said, I hear these arrows. This is the victory of the Lord. Now smite the ground with them. Now, that word smite, it could mean that he took the arrows and whacked it like that. But the word smite with an arrow can also mean that he fitted into his bow and shot it into the floor. And then he took another one and shot it into the floor. Took a third one, shot it into the floor, and then stopped. And Elisha got so mad. He said, why didn't you do it five or six times? And then you would have conquered the Syrians. Now you're just going to beat them three times. And he told him it's the arrow of the Lord for victory. So, you know, you think about this. If I understand that this means the arrow of the Lord for victory, then how many are there in that quiver? You know? But he stopped. And Elisha died. And they buried him. And there was a raiding party coming into the country, and they had one of their number that was killed, and so they were about in danger of being caught, so they went over and threw his body quickly into the cave where Elisha's bones were, and he rolled over there against those bones and came back alive. He came back out of that cave, and I expect when he said, hey, wait for me, he had to run that much faster. So... But now this Amaziah, he went down and fought against the Edomites, and he really defeated the Edomites. And then he made the wonderfully wise decision that he would worship the Edomite gods from then on. How about that? And he comes back full of himself as the great warrior king. So he challenges Joash, and Joash says, now look, you've gone down there, you fought against the Edomites, you've got big hit, now you're coming back deciding that you are the conqueror of the world. You better stay there. Well, Amaziah wouldn't do it. He insisted. And so Joash just defeated him, tore down as much of the wall of Jerusalem as he wanted, just to make a point. See, I could tear it all down if I wanted to. So Amaziah was quiet after that for a while. And eventually, when he died, It was his servants that killed him, so that both of these kings were killed by their own servants. And following Amaziah, there was Uzziah. Uzziah. Now, meanwhile, over here, Jehoash, after him, there is another Jeroboam. This is Jeroboam the second, number three. Now, both of these men reigned for a very long time, and during the times of these kings, we have over here in Israel, we have early in the reign of Jeroboam, we have Jonah, and then later in his reign, we have Amos. Later, a little bit later, we have Hosea. These are Israel. Meanwhile, over here, we have the beginning of Isaiah, Micah. So, these are all prophets that are going to be prophesying just before and during the fall of Israel. So, do you know what that means? We're getting very close to the end of the divided kingdom. And so this Jeroboam the second, he and Uzziah ruled together. I don't mean together as if being great, great buddies. But when you put their kingdom together, look at how big it is. See, I mean, look at how big Israel is there and how big Judah is in the south. So God was saying, now look, you see what I could do for you if you would serve me faithfully? He had really made the point. But do you think it took? No, it didn't take. And therefore, God was saying, okay, I've done what I'm going to do. And so, as we have Uzziah reigning here, after Jeroboam, number four, was his son Zechariah, not the priest. Not the priest. In the days of Jesus, of course, nor the prophet that wrote the book, Zechariah. He's the last one. So, look, what do you think about the house of Jehu? It's done for. So, there's a fellow named Shallum. And he killed Zechariah and rules 1 month. And then he is killed by Menachem, who rules for 10 years. And then he is followed by his son Pekahiah, who rules for 2 years. What impression do you get about what's going on during this time? How fun a place would that have been to live? Do you see? Look, within a year. Really, within a year, you would have had the death of Jeroboam, the reign of Zechariah, the reign of Shallum, and the beginning of the reign of Menachem. And then Pekahiah, and then I'm about running out of places, but I'm also running out of kings. So let me just go over here and put him. The next one is Pekah. Now, at the time of Pekah, Uzziah comes to the end of his reign, and I think it would be good. What time is it? Okay, we're doing good. We're doing good. We're doing very well. All right, so let me erase a little bit here. Because have you noticed the water is flowing faster? Like we're approaching waterfalls. Like we're about to go over the edge or something. And that's exactly what is about to happen. And did you notice that concentration of the prophets? Did you all notice that suddenly we just have a concentration of the prophets? Well, do you know what was about to happen? Israel was about to fall. So what does God do as Israel is approaching its fall? He makes a real hard effort with Israel and Judah to tell them the things that they needed to know. All right, so here we have Pekah. And here we have Uzziah coming to the end of his reign. And after Uzziah, there is Jotham. And Jotham is a pretty good king. And then Ahaz, who is... If he and Jehoram had a contest, I don't know which one of them would have won it. But he at least did some things like putting his children through the fire that Jehoram did not do. Wicked king. And his worst nightmare was Pekah. Pekah and Rezin, the king of Damascus. Oh, Ahaz worried about them, and Isaiah would say, Ahaz, you're worrying about the wrong thing. Instead of worrying about them, you know whom you should be worrying about? God. But they never could get Ahaz to pay any attention to God. And so after Ahaz dies, you have Hezekiah, who's one of the best of the kings. One of the best of the kings of Judah. And meanwhile, over here with Pekah, then you have Hoshea. And he is the last of the kings of Israel. So Hezekiah rules at the time of the fall. Hoshea is reigning at the time of the fall of Israel. And so it's now 200 years. See, 200 years. Now, look at the map again up here. What's missing? You see that? Do you remember what it looked like at the beginning when the tribal portions had been given over the whole land? And then Saul, David, and Solomon, particularly David and Solomon, reigning over the whole kingdom. And then it's dividing, and then it's shrinking down in the days of Jehoahaz until it almost ceased to exist. And then it's coming way back out and blossoming out again in the days of Jeroboam and Uzziah. But now, are all of you aware that if you take the end of Jeroboam's reign, Jeroboam the second, when he died, it was only about 30 years till the fall of Samaria. Now, one of the things that you will notice in your study of history, generally, but especially in the Bible, is that when a kingdom reached what looked like was its biggest extent and its greatest power, that was nearly always a sign that the end was just in the offing. And I don't know all the reasons why. It may be because at that point the kingdom had extended itself really beyond its ability to control, you know, and to supply things that needed to be supplied, maybe. But also it has a lot to do with God and what He designs to happen to things. So we come here to the end of this, and see, now we have Israel gone, and these kings have ruled, and so now we have Hezekiah. And after Hezekiah, you remember he has that, do you remember he has that big Passover and invites all the people up in Israel to come down? Remember, we used that in 2 Chronicles 29 and 30 to say this is probably where the end of the divided kingdom comes in 2 Chronicles. Remember that? All right, so here we have Hezekiah. Look at the difference now. As we keep up with these kings, what's the difference? We only have one column now. See that? So Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah. And so we have this really good king and this wonderful king Josiah. And then we have a three-monther, Jehoahaz. And then we have about a 10-yearer, Jehoiakim, but wicked, wicked. And then Jehoiachin, and then the last one, and he is also a three-monther. And so then we have Zedekiah, and that is Judah alone. That's Judah alone. And the story about Manasseh, I told you that one Sunday, about he was so wicked and was carried away, repented, was given a second chance, comes back, but could not undo all that he had done. Remember that Sunday? There's no story about Amon because he rules 2 years, and there wasn't just a whole lot memorable that he got into or did. But Josiah, he was an absolutely wonderful king. And during the days of Josiah, pretty well at that time, we have Zephaniah, we have Nahum, We have Habakkuk, and we have Jeremiah. Now look, what do we have again? What do you notice here again? Concentration of prophets. Guess what's about to happen to Judah? See that? So isn't it interesting? And those of you who are going to be teaching this, we've got little blocks that are painted and the names of the books are written on them. And you can use those books to make some... That really makes an effective point here during the time of the divided kingdom of Judah alone, because the clumps of all those prophetic books being where they are, it's just so plain that God was trying something extraordinary here to save His people. So Josiah, he made so many renovations, but remember, it was after Manasseh. So did it really matter all that Josiah did? Because God had already said judgment is certain because of what Manasseh did. Now what form it takes or how far it goes, that's still negotiable. But Josiah, when he had the temple cleaned out, you can imagine what it had been like during the days of Manasseh and Amon. They found a copy of the book of the law. They took that copy of the book of the law over and read it in the hearing of Josiah. And it just curled his hair. So he sent messengers over to a prophetess by the name of Huldah and said, the king wants to know about this. She said, yes, it's going to happen. The very things you have read to him are going to happen. But they won't happen in his day. Well, that would be because after about 31 years, he was killed in a battle and was taken out. So it didn't happen in his day because he was dead. But he was really a good king. Okay, so this is Judah alone brings us down to the time of the captivity. And so we'll proceed ahead now with our next class.